All right, are we ready for God's Word this morning? Let's open our Bibles, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22. We're on a series of messages that we started back, last year, and we are doing four different installments of five messages on the life of Jesus. We're calling it Snapchat. My brain is adjusting. Snapshots of the Savior. And so we've looked at different incidences of Jesus in action. Now we're particularly focusing on his message, all right? His messages. And this morning we want to entitle the message, No Prayer, No Power. No Prayer, No Power. So let me start by asking this question. What is it, church family, that makes the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide impotent in supernatural power? What is it? Why is it that some churches decline in growth while others seem to flourish? What is it between two believers? One believer can live a life of victory continually, and another, their life is nothing but one major struggle. Are those fair questions? You know, let me take you when I was a young man. I had given my life to the Lord on April 1st, 1982. This April will be 40 years that I've walked with Jesus. And wow, I never, listen, my family, I've made a lot of really good decisions in my life. I made bad ones too, but I've made some really good decisions. And this is the one decision I have never once regret making. Jesus offers the best life you can possibly have. Amen? All right. And the what? The best return. That's well said. Thank you. All right. So I was young and I was on fire. You know, there's that scripture in Isaiah chapter 41, I believe it is, the final verses of that chapter that say that they that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as of eagles. They will soar. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I always thought, in my mind, that's kind of curious because you normally start with walking and then you go from walking to running and from running to soaring. But I have come to understand that those actions are stated like that in that particular verse because that's the way the Christian experience is for a lot of believers. When they give their lives to the Lord, man, who was soaring with Jesus? I was soaring with Jesus. I was high on Christ. Right. And it was, I mean, that high is legal, I think, in all 50 states. Might be illegal in some other countries, but I was high, and I was like, I had all this supernatural energy to share Jesus, and I had this desire to talk about Jesus. And sometimes, you know, it backfired on me. I had zeal without knowledge. Regardless, but then after a period of time, the soaring turned into running, and I was still like running. Yes, 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 Jesus, Jesus. And then when it came down to walking, how many of y'all know that the Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight? It does not say we fly by faith, not by sight. It does not say we run by faith, right? It says we walk. The Lord wants to bring us down from that high and teach us how to walk with God on a daily basis. Amen? Well, I had hit the wall from soaring and running, and now it was my turn, the Lord decided, to walk. And I, because I had, listen carefully, church family, because I had no prayer life, I spent time in the Word, but I did not spend time talking to the Lord in my daily life. Then all I encountered after that was a defeated life. I could not resist temptation. I found the old habits creeping in. Some of the cuss words that I used to use before I gave to the Lord, gave my life to the Lord, I began to use again. It was just, my life could be characterized in one word, and that was defeat. And if you want to throw in another word, it was struggle. because I had no prayer life. And that lasted for months. And then in the spring of the following year, it seemed like everywhere I turned, the Lord was sending me a message about having a prayer life, like beginning time every day and talk to the Lord. And so I began with 10 minutes a day. You know, I was only 16 years old. Begin with 10 minutes a day and begin to pray. And then all of a sudden I started seeing my life change for the better. It went from struggle to strength. I began to see that by spending time with the Lord, my life all of a sudden had the shoring, the support, spiritual support that I needed to be able to live the life of a believer. I believe that, listen carefully, church family, I believe that prayerlessness has plagued the church worldwide of Jesus Christ. And so we resort to all kinds of marketing techniques. I'm going to preach it like it is, all right? You're going to like this, Dave. We resort to worldly tactics to grow churches, come on, somebody, instead of what the early church apostles did, and that was spend time in prayer and in the Word. And so, it's peculiar. I mean, it's to the tune of, you know, I remember when I was not very long ago, a couple months ago, in fact, I was at the gym, and I have a pastor friend of mine. He's a nice guy. I've known him for decades, really. And he's going to become the senior pastor at First Christian Church there off of MacArthur in Decatur. Big church. And we were talking, and I asked him about how COVID had affected their numbers. And he's like, man, it really dealt us a blow. And then he said, but we're slowly recovering, you know, attendance wise and he asked me, and I said, you know, the peculiar thing is in our church, I said, it's strange, but we're kind of like 40% we increase in attendance pre-COVID numbers. And then all of a sudden he gave me this baffled look, and he started asking, what do you attribute that to? He was hoping that I would answer him with some high marketing technique, some secret from Tony Robbins. He was hoping for some magical silver bullet. And I said, you know what? I attribute it to the sovereignty of God. Amen. And he gave me kind of like, you know, when a dog has a new, you'll like this, Miss Normie. When a dog has a new bowl to eat food out of, he'll kind of look at it, sniff it, and then kind of go, huh? He gave me that look when I said the sovereignty of God. You know, church family, can we just attribute power and glory to God's power? But who agrees with me that that power was meant to funnel through our lives when we pray? No prayer, no power. When we pray, church family, when we plug into the power and talk to God, and let's get into the points. Point number one, prayer is dependence on God. Yes. Pure and simple. But how many of us know that we live in a country of hyper-independent people? Some people are so stubborn that they will not look to God until everything overwhelms them, and then prayer becomes a last-ditch effort instead of a primary resource, right? I mean, they see prayer like the spare tire in the back of their car. They don't think about it. They don't need it, usually, until they get a flat, and then, oh, no. Let's find the jack, let's find the spare, and let's put it on. You know, and that's how people deal with prayer, with God. Well, I can't be bothered. You know, I leave God alone. I hope he leaves me alone until some crisis happens. And all of a sudden, how many of y'all have found that crises put things in very clear perspective? And the perspective is, there is a God and I am not him. And this life is so much bigger than me. You want me to say that again? This life is so much bigger than me. Right? There was once a cartoon that I ran across. It was from BC. Remember those cavemen? BC, the little cartoon. And there was this caveman talking to another caveman, and they were looking that way. And they were, one caveman was telling him, "Don't you just love this universe in perfect harmony, so peaceful, nothing horrible, and behind them is a meteor that's about to hit them." Do you live in the same world I live in? Right? And so, listen, my question is, do we depend on God? Are we dependent on God? Do we fully rely on God? Do we get on our knees and plead with the Lord? I have found that some of the most powerful prayers are not eloquent prayers. They are not poetic prayers. In fact, some of the most powerful prayers are not prayers for public consumption. Nobody else needs to know what you're really grappling with and you're praying things through. You know, it's a sad thing that in the modern church, we don't know how to pray things through anymore. We don't. We don't know how to pray things through. That was an old phrase back in the 1920s, in the 30s, in the 40s. Christians knew how to pray things through. This past weekend, I'm glad we went to Arkansas because we had felt the need that we needed to go down and talk to the kids. You know, one of Cindy's kids was having trouble in their marriage and has been. And so she tells Cindy and, you know, "Hey, this is it's getting bad, blah, blah, blah." And so Cindy would say, "You need to get in church." She would just say, "You need to get." She would do it so often. I finally said, "You know, maybe you're pushing them a little too much. Maybe you need to back off a little." And she would just ignore me. I mean, y'all know those southern women have a mind of their own. Some of those northern women too. Women all over the world. No, let's move on. And Mama Jen's looking at me. "Come on, buddy, keep going on." Let's move on. and so we went there, and she had told Cindy that she finally, because we've been praying for their salvation. You know, all my kids are saved, praise the Lord, but her kids aren't. And we've been praying for their salvation, that they would come to know Jesus personally. And the oldest told her mom, she said, "Mom, you're not going to believe this. I gave my life to Christ." And all those prayers, I thought, all those prayers. And don't think for a minute, we didn't experience discouragement. But church family, at the end of the day, listen, if you know me well, you know I'm very, very, very competitive. And I was not going to let the devil win. You're not going to have him, Satan, over my dead body. Come on, somebody. That's the attitude we need in prayer. So we sunk our heels and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And there were some days that we forgot to pray. We were just so busy. But next day we were there at it again. And this is how it happened. The oldest daughter was laid off of her job. Her boss just closed this practice. No explanations, no nothing. And she finally had a heart-to-heart with the Lord. She said, these are her words. "You know, this is how I love that people can be real with the Lord." She said, "Lord, I'll give my life to you if you throw me a bone." Her words exactly. How many of y'all know that don't fly in church? But how many of y'all know that that's a powerful prayer in the ears of the Lord? Right? If it's coming from the heart, right? Some of you are like thinking, "Pastor Chill, I could never tell the Lord to throw me a bone." I'm keeping with your dog theme, sweetie. Where are those dog treats? You took them back. There they are. So the Lord gave her a job, a new job. It opened. They were courting her. They looked for her. She wasn't looking for it. They hired her on, paid $400 more per week, benefits, free plastic surgery. I'm like, can you slide me in on your coattails for this moneymaker? So anyway, where was I? So she saw that, she gave her life to the Lord, and then she started praying for her husband. Her husband started coming around, and it was her husband that said to Cindy's daughter, "Hey, we should probably get into church." So last weekend, I'm thinking, "Oh, let's just sleep in. You know, or get up early every day, run." I'm thinking, "We just won't go to church." I know, shh, don't tell anybody. We just won't go to church. And then on Saturday, when we saw him, we were around their living room space, and we were talking, and she said, "Mom, Jimmy said that we need to get in church, and so tomorrow we would like to go with you guys to church." I'm like, I looked at Cindy, she looked at me, and I'm like thinking, thank you, God. How many of y'all know, my family, God is faithful. Your prayers do not fall on deaf ears. Right? Point number two. Point number one, prayer is dependence. Point number two, listen, sometimes faith requires perseverance and boldness and just grit. That's the way we say it in Texas. If you guys get into cowboy movies, you know what grit is, right? And so, you know, sometimes, church family, you just need to buckle down and be determined that you're in prayer for the long haul till you see the answers to your prayers come true. Right? Amen. And so it requires boldness. All right, so let's look first at Luke 11:1. I forgot to give the scripture in the first point of dependence. Now it came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Now very carefully, listen carefully, church family. The disciples never asked Jesus, "Teach us to work miracles." Right? "Lord Jesus, teach us how to teach great parables." What's the one thing they asked? "Teach us how to pray." Luke chapter 11, verses 8 through 10 out of the NIV, please. I tell you, he gives this parable, right? "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your," what are the next two words? Shameless audacity, "he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." This is the way it reads in the Greek language. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. So let me ask you, church family, do we give up easily? Do we roll over and say, "You know, well, I've been praying about this for 5 minutes, for 5 weeks, for 5 months, and nothing"? Well, can I ask you a question? Is what you're praying for worth your time? Does it really matter how long it takes? Yahoo!
It's for a man's soul. It shouldn't be.
That's right. That's right. And so, listen, church family, we need to have this attitude of ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking until something happens. The acronym PUSH, pray until something happens. Right? PUSH. Sometimes you just need to push. I remember my ex-wife when she had all three of our daughters. The nurse that was there present, she was like, "Push," and she had to know my ex. And then there was once with the hardest pregnancy she had was with our middle daughter, Carissa. And Carissa was 2 weeks late, and then my wife had was doing some gardening, my ex-wife, and she had gotten some poison ivy. So not only was she pregnant and 2 weeks overdue, she had poison ivy all over. And so she was having a very difficult time. And And the ding-dongs at the hospital there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we were at, they decided to bring in a class of students while she is in labor and while she's pushing. And she finally said, "Get this circus out of here." How many of y'all know you don't mess with a pregnant woman? If she don't put the fear of God in you, nothing will. And so it was laughable. They're all walking out then together. Friends, don't stop until something happens. Push. Pray. Lean on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep asking for whatever it is that's on your heart. All right. So point number three, then. So point number two is prayer requires perseverance. It requires shameless audacity. It requires boldness. It requires stick-to-itiveness, doesn't it, church family? Listen, I'm gonna give you a word, and somebody needs to hear this. Don't just sit in the ring of life and get your brains beat out. Stand up and fight like a man. Yes. In prayer. Don't let the devil keep knocking you back. Start, listen, the way you defeat the devil is in the posture form by kneeling before the Lord. That's how you defeat the devil. James chapter 4, I believe it's verses 7 and 8. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But first we must submit ourselves therefore to God." Right? Last point. What is my last point? Who believes I have it within recall? Okay, my last point. My last point on prayer is that, prayer, when it came to Jesus' life, here's a scripture for the second point. Then he spoke a parable to them that men, what, should how often pray? Always. Always ought to pray and not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Okay, the last point is that between explosions of miracles, Jesus often withdrew to pray. Between explosions of miracles, I'm going through the Gospels. I went through the Gospel of Mark. I'm going through the Gospel of Luke. And I've seen a pattern in the life of Jesus. You know what he did? He would withdraw himself, spend time with God in prayer, and then he would go out and work all these miracles, and then he would withdraw himself again, spend time with God in prayer, and then he would go forth and work all these miracles. So Luke chapter 5, verse 16, listen, so he himself often, let's all say often, withdrew into the wilderness and did what?
Pray.
And prayed. So let me ask you in closing, church family, do we often withdraw into our own little prayer closets, as it were? Do we withdraw into our space? Do we carve out time to spend with the Lord in prayer? Are we convinced that prayer is the answer to a lot of the ills in society? Are we convinced that prayer works? Are we convinced that God is faithful? And church family, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's get down on our knees and fight like a man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for your promises. Father, give us all a sense of urgency for prayer. Help us not to minimize it in our minds, Lord. Help us to lean, to depend, to continue in perseverance regardless of what happens. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you help us all, that you would help us to see you stacking one mighty victory on top of another mighty victory on top of another mighty victory in our lives. It is to your glory that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, but several in church I do know that have dogs, and some of them are almost like your family, instead of like a child. But anyway, if you do have a dog in your home, or chickens don't obey rules too well, do they? But you're supposed to, the dogs are supposed to eat maybe in the kitchen or wherever their bowls are. They have a set place they're supposed to eat. And they're not supposed to run and jump on couches and chairs and things unless maybe you have a special place. But unfortunately, some dogs probably do that anyway. And get their own way, and not to be fed from the table. And that's one reason, is because most of the time, people's food is not good for dogs, because it's too rich or whatever for them. But, you know, they kind of have a way of getting around that. And some kids might even, if they didn't like what they were eating, would slip some food under the table to a dog. Have you ever heard of that? Anybody ever do that? And also, some people bring hamburgers home to their dog, or used to. And dogs know how to get around the rules. I happened to be with Kiki a week ago, and we were eating pizza. SJ was in my face, licking my face, and trying to eat my pizza the whole time. But I did not let him have any. But that doesn't mean they don't keep trying and trying to break the rules. As sometimes we all, as we do, or wagging their tail when you're sitting at the chair, okay, let me jump up with you, or whatever, you know. And usually you give in and let them. Anyway, people are kind of like that, can be like that. Your friends, sometimes they want to try to make you break the rules. Have you ever had any friends, knowing that you're a Christian, but they try to tell you and want you to do things that you aren't supposed to do? Or they don't want you to do the things that you are supposed to do. But we don't let them break the rules because we have Christ in our heart. And just like dogs, when they do what they're supposed to do, they get a treat lots of times. You guys ever get a treat when maybe you've done your chores or whatever you're supposed to do? Probably not. Your folks probably don't ever do anything. Yes, they do. But you know, the most special treat that we can get is the treat that God gives us. Not only a physical treat like we have up here, but the treat of blessing us with all that he has and giving us an eternal life if we follow him. So just remember, even though you don't have dogs at home, but don't break the rules. Don't let other kids talk to you into doing something that you should. Okay? And we have some treats here, and maybe somebody will get some of these treats for their dog. You know, when they do what they're supposed to, or go out and potty, you know what the first thing they do? They run right back in because they want a treat. And sometimes we do that, especially if mom has cookies or something else out and ready to go. So we've got some very special treats here today. So you can take what you want. Well, I won't say that. Maybe one or two. Oh, there might be some other things over there if you don't like these as well. You can check out over there. But I think there are some good ones here. Okay? You better get going or Pastor Joe's it after you. Okay. Thank you, kids. Thank you. Okay, thank you.